Welcome to the Actual Fluency Podcast with Chris Broholm. This show will inspire, motivate, and teach you how to learn foreign languages the best way. On this show, you'll hear incredible stories from amazing language learners who've learned 5 to 10, even 30 plus languages, as well as industry experts who help shape modern language learning through innovation and research. As we dive into language learning methods, techniques, and apps, you'll quickly discover what works and what doesn't. This is the Actual Fluency Podcast, and this is Chris Broholm.
What's up, guys? What's up? Welcome to a new Actual Fluency Podcast episode. This is a bit of a special one. Well, I'll just be going over some of the things that are happening in the world, of course, but also what's happening with Actual Fluency, what's happening with the podcast, the cruise, what sort of big things are coming up, and how are the traveling plans for this year and maybe even next year looking for me personally, but also for the kind of language learning community. So what's going to happen with the events and everything. So first of all, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate still having you here as a listener. I know it's been a while after the, let's just say the C word happened. It was a bit of an issue for me because I had found a reasonably good recording kind of situation in my co-working space where I could record the episodes relatively easily and also do the editing reasonably easily. But unfortunately, the office shut down and I was a bit in a flummox, you know. I didn't really know what to do. And I, as some of you know, I live in a studio apartment, so I didn't really have space for a desk or anything. And there was just a lot of problems that meant that I got overwhelmed and I was trying to just find my bearings, basically. So that's why the podcast has been out for a few weeks. I do have a few episodes recorded, so it is going to be back. I guess that's the first news I'll jump into now that I'm kind of getting used to this studio apartment living. I've kind of set my setup up on the kitchen table and it looks a bit ridiculous. I'm sitting on a nightstand with a pillow on it, so it's all a bit of a MacGyver setup at the moment, but you know, the show must go on. And that's basically what I want to do. This episode is an update episode. So if you're not too interested in sort of the actual fluency stuff, my personal updates, the Polyglot cruise, or sort of what's going on in the world with the pandemic, then you know, I'd probably listen to next week's episode, which is going to feature much more of the usual actual fluency stuff. So this episode doesn't have a number or anything. This is just a little update that I thought I'd record to, catch up because it's been a while. And time, oh boy, does time fly as well. You know, when you, I don't know if you guys have tried this, but if you're producing something regularly, like a podcast, a blog, or YouTube or something, and something happens that kind of knocks you out of balance. I guess this goes for a lot of things in life, maybe, like learning languages even. Something knocks you out of balance, and you take a few days off, you tell yourself, and then, okay, I'll start on Monday, I'll start next week, I'll start on the first of the month. And then suddenly, 3 months have passed, and you're like, what just happened? So that's basically what's happened here. I have been trying to get back with this. But I've been doing a lot of other actual fluency stuff in the meantime that I have been able to do more of, like blogging, for instance. I've been writing more. I'm coming out with some new products soon, which is going to be super exciting. Some new language courses produced on the Actual Fluency brand. So I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But let's just quickly talk about the thing that must not be named, the big C. So obviously the whole world is upside down here in the UK. In case you haven't seen, it's really bad right now here in the end of April. We've got, you know, 1,000 deaths a day. We're up to, I think, about 15,000-20,000 deaths. And the lockdown is very strict. You know, not like you're going to be shot by the military if you go out strict. But I was, the other day, I was going down to the supermarket just to get some groceries, which is one of the only things you are technically allowed to do these days. And I was standing around in the parking lot of the shops, and all the shops were closed except for one supermarket. And they have this 1 hour reserved for the vulnerable, the elderly, people who work in the healthcare industry. So I was a bit early. I was about 20 minutes, 15 minutes early for the sort of regular people opening hours. I want to respect those reduced opening hours for the elderly and the key workers. So what I did was I just called my grandmother and had a little chat with her in the parking lots, but I was sort of loitering around. And it didn't take long for a police car to show up and basically ask me what I was doing. And after I explained, he there was no problem or anything, but it was clear that if I didn't have a good explanation for being at that point in time, then, you know, he would have told me to go home. So things are bad, but hopefully things will get a lot better. And I think it's worth saying that with all this pandemic going on, all these things, I feel extremely grateful and privileged to be in the position I am, where I can just kind of keep working and, you know, things go move on. And I know I haven't had any family members affected or anything, and I know a lot of people have, and I know a lot of people have lost their jobs, and I know a lot of you guys out there listening are potentially struggling. So I want to give you my deepest thoughts, and I hope that we can all as a sort of world unite and come through this quickly without too much lasting damage. But of course, it is a terrible thing to have happened. And let's just hope, like I said, that it gets over quickly. And with regards to that and language learning, I think it bears saying that a lot of people are pushing this idea that now is a great time to add a hobby, like learn a language or learn programming or watch online courses on, I don't know, cooking or something. And, you know, I sort of agree to an extent. It is a good time because we can't really socialize. There are not much else to do than sit at home and potentially do some studying. But one thing, one risk of that is I definitely see some people getting a little overwhelmed. And I know myself that I've got a lot of things going on, this podcast being one of them, that kind of weighs me down and I need to get that done. But that also stops me from trying to put some language learning in myself. So the kind of best advice I can give people is, you know, if you have the kind of mental space, I would call it, to add something new, to improve a language, start a new language, or start a blog, or even start a podcast like this one. Now is a good time to do it, but I wouldn't necessarily feel pressured to have to do it, because a lot of people, like I said, have lost their jobs. They're not sure if they have a job next month, and the income might be limited, might not have enough savings. And there's just so many things. Some people have kids, so they have to deal with homeschooling and, you know, everyone being at home all the time. So if your life situation is kind of, let's say, pressured by all these things or some of all these things, then I wouldn't worry too much about it, how amazing an opportunity it is to learn a new language here. There's always going to be time for that. And there's always going to be, a future opportunity to do just well, you know. But it is a great time. I'm trying to put in a lot of effort into actual fluency. I've been kind of neglecting the blog side of things a little bit the last few years. So I'm trying to write some more interesting articles and reviewing a little bit more software, which is something I used to do a lot in the past. Also experimenting with YouTube, and I've got the Danish channel coming up. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But I can also feel the pressure, you know. It's like, yeah, I'm getting some work done, but then I look at my apartment and it's like an absolute mess. Luckily, you can't really have visitors anyway, but, you know, just to say that not everything is working perfectly, even though it's a good opportunity to produce, let's say, content or learn a language, I still have loads of areas in my life that are not going very well right now. So just keep that in mind, you know, that there might be a lot of pressure, a lot of emails coming out at you, even with, you know, great offers saying, hey, buy our course, or, you know, join this mastermind, or join this challenge, or whatever. Don't feel pressured to do it if you're not feeling it. But if you don't, if you still have a job, if you still have savings, if you don't have any kind of pressure like that, then, you know, check it out and see if you can't do some major progress in language learning in this horrible time. But that's all I'm going to talk about the coronavirus today. Oops, I said the word. Sorry about that. That's all I'm going to say about it today, because I also don't think we should focus too much on it. course, it's kind of dictating our lives at the moment, but let's look ahead. Let's look at what's coming up. Let's look at the positives and benefits, and let's start to plan what we're going to do when all this is over. So with that in mind, let's go into the podcast updates. So I already alluded a little bit to this earlier, but basically, because of this extended break, I do have a few episodes already recorded. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to release them weekly from now on, and I'm going to try to stay on that schedule. Can't promise anything, of course, with these conditions. It's just not very, let's say, easy to record, and a lot of people are, of course, busy and not at their usual schedules. So, but what I will do is I will definitely try to maintain that one a week that I've done for so many years. But in the last year or two, it's just been all over the place. There's just been so many life changes, so many moving countries. And but anyway, I'm looking forward to getting back to the schedule with that. And just a little teaser, I've got some really interesting guests coming on. For instance, Anthony Mativier is back. You might remember him from the Memory Palace episode. We're going to be talking about mental health, I guess, you know. It was a really interesting episode about how to develop more mental resilience, how to basically be a better version of yourself. And I'm sure people are going to love that episode. It doesn't have much to do with language learning, but the way I always saw it was, if you do well in your language learning, you can usually translate those principles to every section of your life and vice versa. So if you're doing really well in your mental health, then the language learning will be easy. Also talking to the UTalk chairman, Dick Howson. That's going to be interesting. He's a really cool dude, and what they do over at UTalk is really cool. And I met them in at Language Show Live recently. Language Show London? I forgot what it's called anyway. It's like a trade fair. And well, I find the fair generally boring, and you know, there's a lot of university stuff there. Hanging out with the UTalk crowd was actually really cool, and they have supported me for the cruise, and they're going to join next year for the cruise, and we're going to have a lot of fun with like treasure hunts and all sorts of quizzes and prizes and all kinds of fun stuff. But so that's just a little bit of what you can look forward to. I'm also trying to get a few people on the podcast that haven't been on the podcast yet but have been requested in the past. So these are people that I've been meaning to get on, but for some reason haven't really gotten around to it. So look out for a lot of new names as well, which is going to be super exciting. I'm also trying to optimize the whole process a little bit, so hopefully that will be make it easier on the production process. The next big update is the Polyglot Cruise, and a lot of people have been asking me about this, and a lot of people have sent me messages of support and thoughts, which I really appreciate. And in case you don't know, the Polyglot Cruise is my first event, the actual Fluency first event, you know, where we were going to go on a Mediterranean cruise in April. So actually right at the time of this recording coming out. And the idea was to have a very social form of the language conferences that we see all over the world. So you can have a lot of time to socialize or share knowledge, workshop in case you wanted to be a better teacher, blogger, podcaster. You know, I had some of my friends, great content creators like Kirsten Cable, Lindsay Williams, Judith Meyer, and Ollie Richards come and do presentations. And you know, if you want to catch some of those presentations, obviously not quite in their intended glory, but a lot of the information is still there. You can go to the Actual Fluency YouTube channel and you will see the four presentations. And there's a few notes for me as well, just as a sort of, I guess, plan B now that we couldn't go. But what we're doing instead is that we're moving the event 1 year ahead. You know, there were a lot of opportunities. The only opportunity we didn't have was basically to go on the cruise, as all cruises are canceled for the next foreseeable future, probably the next 2 or 3 months, if not more. So obviously, doing that was impossible. I didn't want to move it to out of season. So, and there's also a lot of other events in the year. So I didn't want to basically move it to the summer because then it was still uncertain if we could even go. And going up to winter, well, is it that exciting to be on a cruise ship in the winter? Probably not. Then it's probably better for the Caribbean. So I thought, okay, we're going to go into next year anyway. So I might as well try to put it at roughly the same time. And I'm extremely grateful, and I really want to thank everyone who registered for the cruise and stayed on, because this is a very small operation. You know, it's basically just me. I have a bit of help from a few of my friends, and of course the speakers have been amazingly helpful in spreading the word about the event and supporting it with their appearance. But the real heroes are the people who saw the event and thought, this sounds like fun, and booked it. So we are about 30 people, 30 participants. So we're, you know, right around the 35 people mark for that agreed to move it to next year. And that's just wonderful, because it gives me, as the little organizer, you know, a lot of time to make the event even better. And of course, I'm in a tough time trying to sell tickets for the event, but there's 100 maximum. So I'm hoping we can get those slots filled. But if not, we're going to have a great little intimate, fun cruise with just a core group of people. But if you are interested, go to polyglotcruise.com. I really appreciate the earlier people book, the better. And like I said, I thank you so much to the people who registered, believed in the event, and gave it a shot. And then when everything kind of fell apart because of this situation, you were happy to kind of push your ticket to next year, which is so helpful as an organizer that I didn't have to process, you know, a ton of refunds, a lot of transaction fees and that kind of thing. So that's going to be great. And as a thank you from the cruise line for sticking with the booking, we also got some sweet rewards there. So if you join the cruise, I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But I know it's going to be extremely hard to fill the slots, of course, at this point, especially this early. You know, the event is like a year away, but the earlier the people book, the better for organizational purposes, to make sure we can kind of get the type of cabins that people want and, you know, match people up with the ideal matches if they are, you know, traveling in a shared cabin. So that's going to be great. I still can't wait. I mean, I'm so excited to go on the cruise at this time, but now there's going to be another year. I'm not sure if I can contain my excitement for that long, but I'm sure it's going to be a great event. And with this extra time, we're going to make it even better. So if you do want to support us with the event and come on the first ever Polyglot Cruise, it's going to be April 2021. And there we do offer 100% free refunds until January 1st. So, you know, if you think it sounds like a good idea and you have the time in April next year, you think, then, you know, just book it now. And if you find out in October that you can't make it, happy to process a full refund, no questions asked whatsoever. It's more important for us that we get those early kind of adopters, or, you know, early users. Basically, the more users we have, the better conditions we can get from the cruise line, and the better it's going to be for everyone. So thank you so much for that. And like I said, I really appreciate all the messages. Luckily, everything worked out. We didn't have to like cancel and lose a ton of money or anything. So everything's sort of been moved to next year. The next big update is the upcoming release of the first ever Actual Fluency language courses, which I'm really looking forward to. I've been working on these for a long time, and we're calling them bite-sized languages. And the idea is to offer listening practice or listening materials for beginner learners. And the reason that I'm doing that is because I felt like that was kind of an underserved market. I feel like a lot of the listening practice that you can find out there has a ton of English in it. So, you know, you listen to a podcast about learning German, and a 10-minute episode might have, you know, two sentences in German. So it's 99% English. You know, and I understand that. You obviously don't want to explain about the language, and you don't want to have just a 10-second podcast episode. But for the beginner learner, I'd say it's a very inefficient way to do it. So what I've done is I've developed 100 lessons with practical vocabulary, and I've gotten two native speakers in 5 different languages to record them. And then I've provided transcripts, translations, grammar notes, and so even some cultural notes. I got some people to write, which basically give you sort of etiquette and culture and how people behave in the countries, what's normal, how many hours do people work, is it normal to be late, are Germans punctual, and so on and so forth. So they're really quite comprehensive, even though the lessons are bite-sized, hence the name bite-sized languages. And the idea is that you can kind of study it as much as you want. So if you want to just put it on your phone and just endlessly listen to the 100 dialogues, you can do that, and you're going to gain so much from it. You're going to gain better pronunciation because you start to hear the differences in the sounds of the target language. You also get grammar and context. You get the language in context, and things start to make sense. And you get to that comprehensible input stage, as Stephen Krashen is so fond of. And in general, a place that beginners don't really have an easy way of finding, because if you watch a TV show in your target language, it's going to be too difficult and it's going to be boring. But these sentences are very basic. They're very simple. They get a little bit more difficult as you progress, of course. The first lesson is, I think, half the length of the last lesson. But basically, it's natural language. You know, we don't kid around. We don't teach you five different types of fish. And, you know, it's useful, and we don't simplify. We don't oversimplify. We want to give you the actual language that you can go out and use and you would use. It's not like, you know, here's how you can book a hotel room over the phone, which nobody has done for the last 10 years, you know. So that was the idea with the bite-sized languages. And I'm really looking forward to that, to see how people are going to find, how useful that's going to be to people. I think it's going to be very useful. And I'm also positioning at a very affordable price. And I think a lot of language courses and products are becoming quite expensive. Or they're on some kind of subscription model where you pay, you know, every month you have to pay $20. So, look out for those bite-sized languages. If you're on the email list, you're going to be notified immediately, actualfluency.com/join, about any future offers coming up. We're going to do a cracking offer for the launch here. So definitely look out for that if you're listening to the episode here in the beginning of May. That's going to be very exciting. And I'm also going to be talking a little bit about sort of the process of coming up with these courses and how I did it, what kind of challenges we had, and how everything came together. And I'm going to share some of that with you guys. So if you want to create your own language courses in other languages, maybe. Oh, I should just mention it's Spanish, French, German, Italian, and Russian. So five languages to start out with. And if they're popular, we might expand that to some other languages. We really have a good process now that it's a very scalable process. And the target, or the origin sentences from English are the same across the languages. So you could easily go through, let's say, the German course, and then when you go over to one of the other courses, you're going to get a little bit of a head start because you know sort of what the dialogues are about. So there's a good opportunity for aspiring polyglots there and laddering. But anyway, I didn't mean for this entire episode to come off as like a sales pitch for my products and projects. And I'm sure the usual listeners will definitely understand that. But if you are new to the podcast, definitely not the intention. I'm excited to be sharing this because I've wanted to create a language learning product for Actual Fluency for about, well, pretty much since I started it in 2014. And for some reason, I just never did it. So now that I'm bringing it out, I'm really excited about it. And I want the whole world to know about it. And of course, as this is like a special update episode, I thought I'd mention it here. But before I move on to the last point, like the travel update and just closing thoughts, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Optolingo, who are sponsoring the podcast this year and are really understanding with the whole pandemic and the fact that the episodes have been a little bit delayed lately. But they have a really cool app, a really high quality in lots of languages, and they use something that I haven't really seen before. It's kind of a form of audio spaced repetition. So it's not like flashcards, but it uses some of the same memory techniques. So check out Optilingo. That's Optilingo. Optilingo. It's a cool app. And if you want to, you know, it's free to use, but as a limited free feature. But if you want to subscribe, it's only a few dollars a month. So I think that's easily worth it for top quality language stuff. So yeah. I'm excited to be back. And the last thing I want to talk about today is just the kind of travel updates. What's the language learning calendar looking like? What's the scope of 2020, 2021? So I guess you've all heard by now that the Polygo cruise was postponed, as I just mentioned, and the Polygo gathering, which was supposed to take place at the end of May, beginning of June, has also been postponed. So they've just postponed it a year. They are going to do a sort of virtual version this year in 2020, so check that out for sure. I'm a little bit curious to see what the setup is going to be. If they're going to be, is it going to be like a virtual version of what the presentations would have looked like? Because that's going to be a huge job to organize a virtual conference of that size with potentially hundreds of speakers. Or is it going to be like a, let's say, a small version of it with maybe a limited group of speakers just to have something? That's going to be interesting to see. So definitely look out for the Polygot gathering. And then in October, we have the Polygot conference scheduled for the end of October. I think it's about the 16th to the 18th. And I actually have a flight ticket booked for that. That's going to take place in Cholula near Mexico. But, you know, the whole world is in a bit of a question mark right now. The concern about Mexico specifically is that it seems like South and Latin America are quite far behind in the coronavirus kind of spreading. So it seems like they're at least a month or two behind what we're seeing in Europe. And what we're seeing in Europe right now is terrible. So, okay, if they're a few months behind, will they kind of make it in time to allow travel there? And even if you allow travel, that might not be enough, because what we saw just before the peak of the pandemic in Europe was that you were still allowed to travel, but when you got there, you had to stay in quarantine for 2 weeks. I think it was it South Korea or North Korea? I'm not sure. I read this somewhere that if you arrived as a tourist, I think it's today actually, you had to pay for like a quarantine facility. So you'd actually stay in some kind of hotel, not a fantastic hotel. It probably looks more like a hospital, really. And you were liable to pay the kind of food and accommodation, which wasn't a bad deal, actually. It was a pretty, I think it was subsidized by the government. But my point is, just because flights start going again and the kind of the world is opening up a bit, doesn't mean we can just travel without restrictions. You know, there might be some serious limitations. The travel insurance might not cover any problems because you knowingly went there, and you might have the risk of being turned away if you have a fever, which could be a, you know, a cold or whatever. And you might be asked or forced to go into a quarantine period when you arrive in the country. So, you know, honestly, who knows if it's going to be open in October. I'm obviously, fingers crossed, I've got a reasonably good deal with British Airways. I hope British Airways is going to be around at that time. But I must say I'm watching the situation carefully and evaluating, of course, at all times what I'm going to do. But October does still seem quite far away. So let's hope that they've fixed it a little bit better until then. And then, of course, we're getting into 2021. And by the time of the cruise next year, April, I'm really hoping that by then most of all the restrictions have been lifted. It might be that the way we travel will be changed forever. Maybe like, you know, there might be like more medical screening, or more they'll take a look at where you've been, or they might do temperature testing for a long time after this. But I do expect that, and of course I'm not a medical expert. I know nothing about viruses or anything. So it might be, this prediction might be totally wrong, but I am hoping that once we get into 2021, that life will be sort of back to normal, probably with a few bankrupt companies that we won't see anymore, unfortunately. But for the individual, I think we'll be back to normal, hopefully in the new year. And then by April, when the cruise is set to take place, there'll be no issues. I guess one good thing to come out of this is you can pretty much guarantee that the hygiene checks on the cruise ships are going to be insane. They were pretty strict before. I don't know if you guys have ever been on a cruise before, but they have all these dispensers with sanitizer everywhere. And there's like, even sometimes they have staff members handing out individual wipes to make sure that everyone uses them. So now with this in the bag, I think it's going to be even stricter. And that's a good thing, because then you won't have these risks of they have the rhinovirus, they have the, you know, the common cold, the flu, all the other viral infections you might pick up when you travel are just going to be so much less likely. So I think we're going to see some positive changes. And, you know, people are definitely struggling now. People are dying. So I don't want to make it sound like there's any kind of upside to this. I would never say something like that. But personally, I've seen a boost in productivity because I can't do anything else. And I've seen from a lot of my friends and who are making progress in their projects, whether it's learning a new language or starting their own website, a blog or whatever. So, you know, my closing thoughts are stay positive. Things are going to definitely change and hopefully for the better. And we are going to get through this together. If you're feeling a little bit under pressure, a little bit like there's too much to deal with, take a breath and don't feel pressure to start something new or improve something at this point. But other than that, I'm looking forward to sharing new episodes with you of the Actual Fluency Podcast weekly from now on. And if you want to check out any of all of this I've talked about, do join the email club, actualfluency.com/join, where I email out about all the updates, basically, and all the offers and launches and, you know, tips and tricks about language learning as well. So thank you so much for listening to this update video, which isn't a video, it's a podcast. Sorry about that. And I'm looking forward to seeing you soon. Thank you so much for staying subscribed to the Actual Fluency Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Actual Fluency Podcast with Chris Broholm. To get more language learning tips, strategies, and inspiration, join the Actual Fluency email club by going to actualfluency.com/join. We hope you enjoyed the show and hope you've gotten some useful information. Till next time, this is the Actual Fluency Podcast, signing off.